friends, it's good to be with you this morning. My name is Ricky James, a senior pastor of First Methodist Church here in Clinton, Mississippi. And whether you're joining us online or listening to us at Supertalk FM, we are glad that you are here today. Do you have a favorite passage of Scripture? A particular verse, perhaps, that you write on your email signature or you have highlighted in your Bible? You know, a life verse, one that you picked out when you were a new Christian and maybe you've gone back to over and over. Or maybe you don't. You have no idea what I'm talking about. That's fine, because today I'm going to tell you about my life verse, a passage of Scripture that speaks to me and has spoken to me since I first came to Christ. And so I hope that you are encouraged by what you hear today. And if you don't have a life verse, perhaps you might consider finding one for yourself. But whether or not you do, we are glad that you're here, and welcome to this time of worship together.
Thank you. the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Friends, every week I have the opportunity to see your generosity as you respond to all of God's blessings in your life and you give through the church to support the ministry and missions around not only our city, but around our world. And so thank you. And I want you to know that every time you give, and no matter how much you give, all of it is a way to say thank you to God and a way to make a real difference in the lives of others. So I encourage you to do that right now. You can give safely and securely online at firstmethodistclinton.org/giving. You can mail your check in here to the church at 100 Mount Salis Road, or drop it by the next time you're in the neighborhood. We'd love to see you. And however you give, remember, your gift makes an eternal difference.
Good morning, everyone. I'm glad you're joining us today. I'm Miss Nikki, and we're going to have a few moments for the kids. Last week, we had Vacation Bible School here at our church. Some people call it VBS, which stands for Vacation Bible School, but I like to think it stands for Very Best Summer. In the middle of VBS last week, I checked in with a few of the kids, Luke and Catherine, to see how things were going. They were having so much fun learning about Jesus. So today, I want to tell you about the rest of the week. On the first day of VBS, we discovered we can have confidence because Jesus knows us. Jesus knows everything about you and he loves you. Not only does he love you, he cares for you. Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd and he takes care of you like a good shepherd takes care of his sheep. On day two, we learned that we can have confidence because we belong. And we know that's true because we can remember the way Jesus chose his first disciples. He didn't pick people who were really popular or who others thought were perfect. He chose ordinary fishermen like Peter and Andrew, James and John. And he chose Levi, a tax collector. He made it clear that everyone belongs, and his love is for all of us, and that we belong to Jesus. On day three, we learned that we can have confidence because we are forgiven. And I know that even if I mess up, I can always talk to God about it. And he will always forgive me. And he'll help me to make a better choice next time too. We also heard the Bible story of Zacchaeus that day. Now, Zacchaeus had done some awful things by getting rich from his neighbor's money. But Jesus wasn't like, "You're a bad person, get away from me." Instead, Jesus told Zacchaeus, "I must stay at your house today." And he forgave Zacchaeus for the wrong things he had done. And he'll forgive us too, no matter what. On day four, we learned that we can have confidence because we can change. And we heard the story of Saul and how Jesus' love changed Saul. It made him want to turn his life around. And he turned away from what he had done wrong, and he worked to make things right with the people he had hurt. All of us can change. When we've done something we're not proud of, or we realize that we've messed up or hurt someone's feelings, God can give us the confidence to change our ways. And he can give us the courage to say we're sorry. And with his help, we can make things right. And it helps to know how other people have changed too. On the last day of VBS, on day five, we learned that we can have confidence to make a difference. And we can help others understand how much Jesus loves them by the way we treat them every day. After all, each one of us is like the lost sheep in the Bible story from Luke chapter 15. Jesus loves us so much that he'll come find us and will joyfully bring us home. So the entire week at VBS, we learned about true confidence and learning to see ourselves the way that God sees us. So remember these five things. We can have confidence because we are known, we belong, we're forgiven, we can change, and we can make a difference. And there are so many great ways we can share God's love with others. So be sure to talk about that with your family, okay? And that's the good news for today. Let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for wanting to be our friend, no matter what we've done, no matter how we might be feeling. As we look at the way Jesus treated people, we can see that all of us are important to you. You care about what's going on in each of our lives. Please help us to follow you, just like the disciples did. And help us to live your way and to show your love every day. We love you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pray with me as we pray the prayer that Jesus gave his disciples to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
When I was 12 years old, I went through a process called confirmation. And in the Methodist Church, like some other churches, confirmation is a time of growth and learning where we hopefully invite our young people to make a profession of faith in Jesus and to claim for themselves the faith that we know brings salvation, and to make that a decision for themselves. And it's a great process, and I loved my time of confirmation, and as a pastor, I have loved being part of confirmations for other young people. One memory of my confirmation that really stands out was when our pastor at my home church in Hattiesburg was introducing us to our confirmation lessons. He encouraged us to find a verse of Scripture to be our life verse, a verse that we would claim as our own. And invited us to meet with our parents or mentors or other trusted people to kind of get recommendations, perhaps, and to study the Bible together. That night, I remember sitting with my mom at our kitchen table as we opened up the Bible together and walked through several different verses, some that were important to her, some that I kind of maybe thought I knew about, like, what's that one about God loving the world so much kind of thing? And we'd go to John 3, and I don't know how or why, but somehow we were drawn to the book of Romans and settled, after a really great conversation, on Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And since that night, that passage has been a touchstone for me, a life verse, one that I return to over and over. I've also found that a lot of people like that verse. But if you've not heard it, I want to share it with you. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Paul writes this: "We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose." I think one of the reasons why I loved that verse from the very beginning was in that confirmation process, I was beginning to sense a call to ministry. And so this idea that all things work together for good for those who love God and who are called according to His purpose, it seemed to speak to me. Plus, it was kind of nice to think that all things are going to work out, right? All things are going to be good. What else does a 12-year-old want to know? Whatever I want, whatever I'm going to be, whatever I have planned, it's all going to work out, right? Now, for those of you who are a little bit older than 12, perhaps you've realized that that's not always the case, that all things maybe don't work out. In fact, we have some good days and we have some bad days. And it didn't take me too long to realize that either. A few years later, when I was in youth group, our youth group went through a significant tragedy together. Our youth director, Paul, was killed in a car accident. And I remember the night that we gathered in the youth room after our parents had shared the news with us individually. And even though it wasn't planned and no one put it together, all of the youth ended up drifting into the youth room that night. And I remember struggling, obviously. Anyone would. But not just struggling at the death of a beloved mentor, but struggling with how then I would justify or understand my life verse that I had chosen just a few years before. All things work together for good? Really? Well, I remember a few weeks going by and our pastor meeting with us, both in small groups and in large groups. And because I had begun working with him on my ministry call, I remember sitting down with him individually as we were processing how the youth group was doing and how I was doing. And I brought up to him my question. If the Bible says that all things work together for good for those that love God and are called according to His purpose, then what do we make of the suffering, the tragedy? It's not good. So does it mean that we don't love God and we're somehow being punished? Does it mean that God is trying to get us to understand something differently or do something differently? What are we supposed to do? And I remembered he said, and you might chuckle at this, because I think this is the moment where I began to fall in love with the Greek language of the Bible. And if you've listened to any of my sermons, you know I like to throw out Greek words. But that pastor said, well, you know, Ricky, the problem is we have to read the Bible in English, but Paul didn't write in English. And in fact, the Greek language doesn't make the all things the subject. In this verse, God is the subject. Now, I had a blank look on my face because I had no idea what he meant. So he read it this way. He said, the Greek can actually be translated, God works all things to the good for those that love Him and are called to His purpose. It's a very subtle difference. And neither one really conflicts with each other because all translations are a choice. But do you understand the difference there? Not that all things work good, but that God can take all things and work them together to the good. And so from that moment in my life of spiritual development, I've taken a new and, I think, more comforting approach to my life verse. And I return to it often, not just in hopes of finding good things, but I return to it often when I'm facing challenges, when I'm going through suffering, when I'm facing uncertain days. So you can imagine this past year, I've gone to that verse a lot. When I was appointed to this church, I was very excited to be the pastor at First Clinton. And we had a really wonderful beginning. But about 8 months into my tenure, the world was turned upside down. As we entered together in this unprecedented moment in the life of the world, and as COVID-19 began to unfold, I remember the different feelings that we went through. There was, of course, kind of confusion. What does this mean? There was some fear about what would happen to us individually. There was anxiety about what would happen to us as communities and cities and whole countries. There was certainly frustration, not knowing exactly what to do or who to trust. And quite frankly, there was division, not only in the nation, but there were divisions in individual families that I would meet with, where different members of the family had different ideas about what to do or how to live or what to think. And this division began to bubble up throughout our country. It was an uncertain time, and in some ways, life remains uncertain for so many people. But it also put us into the realization that all of life has moments of suffering and uncertainty, and yes, even death. And so over and over in this past year, I returned to this verse. Sometimes in hope, sometimes in anguish. But every time I returned, wouldn't you know it, I found the same promise. All things. Not just some things. Not just some days. But God in some way would work all things to His good. And you know what? The people of God are still here. The church in the world is still here. The church in Clinton is still here. And yes, we've been through suffering, but we are still here. And in some ways, perhaps, we're stronger. All throughout the Scripture, and particularly all throughout Paul's letters, we see the refrain over and over that in suffering, we can learn. We can grow. We can find a firmer foundation. Now, I don't mean to suggest that God produces suffering to teach us a lesson. But I do know from personal experience, God will always use something to bring forth His goodness. But there's a key point to this verse that we don't want to miss. The verse doesn't stop after the all things to the good. What Paul is wanting us to understand is not that all things will work out, don't worry about it, but rather, God is working all things to the good, and so we should redouble our efforts to love God and to live into His calling. Now for Paul, as a good Hebrew and an even better Christian perhaps, when he uses that phrase, love God, it's not simply about feeling, friends. No, remember the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And if you do that, you'll find yourself right in line with God's purpose. In fact, in some ways, I think Paul is letting us know that if we focus on loving God with everything, and we focus on the purpose that He sent us to be His love and light in the world, if we focus on those things, yeah, there'll be good days. There'll be bad days. But on the whole, all things, God will take them up and use them for His good purposes. I find in my life that when I focus on loving God, and when I abide in the calling to love God and love others, when I focus on those things, I find that all the other things, they really do look less worrying. Now, it's not magic, not self-help. This would not be a good sermon if it was just Ricky telling you how I get through things. No, instead, this is a promise of God. God says in His Word that He's going to take all things in this world and work them to good. In some ways, we will never understand how He does it. But believe me, He does. As I look back on the 2 years I've been in ministry here in this place, I sometimes wonder, would I have preferred not to have gone through COVID? Well, probably, yeah. Wasn't that fun? And we lost good people. But I also know that God has taken every single moment, the good and the bad, and has worked His will for today, and will be working His will for eternity. And I may not be able to understand it all now, or even 10,000 years from now, but I'll never give up the hope and the faith that I've put in Him. All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purposes. Thanks be to God. Amen. Well, friends, as you go forth this week, whether it's going to be a good week or a bad week, I don't know. But what I do know is that when we give ourselves over to love God fully with all that we are and all that we have, that God begins to work in our life, to work everything to His good purposes. So go forth in that good news and in that assurance to love and serve the Lord. Amen.